The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Welcome back to the program on this Monday Afternoons with Mike right here on the Shepherd Radio Network. I have with me Tim Kroll back in the studio. Welcome back, Tim.
Oh, it's great to be back. Thanks for having me over.
Well, it's wonderful, even on what has been a rainy morning, for you to come over and be with us. But we have been talking, and folks have been hearing a lot about the Kroll commercials that are playing that have to do with this wonderful, it's called a solar unit. It is an MP3 player that you guys have developed that contains pastoral training for people in Brazil. And I'm so excited about it. You've lent me one. I was able to play it on the microphone for the concert we did in Ocala. People were intrigued by it. It's so incredibly handy to have theological training literally in the palm of your hand, but that's what you've done. And that's what all of these commercials were out there praying that people will invest in pastors in Brazil.
Yeah. Matter of fact, the solar powered unit is kind of where we get the name for the project, Helios. Helios is the Greek word for sun, that fireball in the sky that is usually here in Florida, seems to be missing a little bit today.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's where we get the word from. And that solar powered player, you know, we'd love to take credit for it, but there's actually a Christian ministry that developed it over the years ago. It's a fascinating story. A guy went to Israel as a missionary, a heart for the Jewish people and that. And had a background in radio, and particularly in radio technology, antennas, actually, and started a business to support himself while he's living in Israel. And out of that came this ministry, Mega Voice. They make the units for us. They're a great ministry partner. They have a heart for reaching people, and a variety of ministries will use their devices. We happen to use it and load our content on it, our content being a comprehensive content to put, as you put it, a Bible and Christian faith education right in the hand of a pastor.
And, you know, it has a self-contained speaker. A lot of people may think that when they first look at it, that it's like an iPod. And, you know, iPods now, they went the way of the technology graveyard as well.
Yeah.
Because of the fact that when people started getting the ability to have an iPod in their phone, that kind of made that separate device unnecessary. So the difference, though, this is advanced even from an iPod. It has all of the abilities to store and really contain hours and hours and hours of teaching in a real organized fashion. But it has a built-in speaker that you can actually not have to attach earphones or headphones to be able to hear. But then there's this other thing that you were talking about, the Helios aspect of it. It's solar powered.
Yeah. Yeah. Light years ahead of the iPods that used to be out there, in that you can just recharge it with the sun. And that means for a pastor who doesn't have electricity or doesn't have, and this is what we run into in a lot of places, you'll have pastors that have electricity in their community. They just don't have reliable electricity in their community. They have, you know, we never know. We know some point next week power is going to go out. It goes out every week. Mm-hmm. We just never know when. And so if it happens to be that I have a resource that I'm using to study God's word to prepare a message for Sunday, and I planned on studying on Thursday and Friday, and now the power goes out, now all the resources that I might have just disappeared. And so we have pastors that have electricity. They still take a solar unit. Because they look at us and they say, the sun I can count on, the electric company in my country or in my city is not always reliable.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've gone to a lot of these locations.
Yeah.
I'd like to take some time and have you tell us a little bit about what you see when you are there. I mean, when you have boots on the ground in a country like Brazil, and I know you've been to Ecuador with this, and even in Cuba. I don't know if you personally went.
Yeah.
You got to go to Cuba too. That's amazing. And in all of these countries, this concept of pastors needing training, that's the one constant, that while languages may be different, while some of the cultural traditions might vary, the one need that is constant is training in the hearts of these pastors.
Yeah, I think I said this when you interviewed me before. 86 is a number we'll use. Worldwide, when pastors are asked, if we could get you one resource, Bibles, church buildings, short-term missions teams, money, what's the number one thing that you would ask for? And in response to that, 86% of the pastors ask, their number one response is training.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they want. And so when you travel and you have boots on the ground, as it were, the first thing you're going to find is you're going to find brothers and sisters. Because while we talk about pastors, we also give these to Christian workers. So it could be a missionary. It could be somebody serving in an Awana ministry that is new in an area. There's not even a church there, but they're using it. Awana missionary is using it, or somebody serving in Awana is using that to reach that community and start a church in that area. And so the first thing you'll notice is brothers and sisters who are just passionate for the Lord. They love him. And they know they're loved by him, and he's called them to serve, and they're going to serve.
Mm-hmm.
And so whatever it takes for them to serve, many are bivocational. They still have a full-time job. They still have full-time responsibilities. They have a family to take care of. They have all these things, but the Lord's called them to serve, and they're going to do it. And so the first thing you run into is that great passion they have. The next thing, when you actually give them a Helios unit, is gratitude. People clutching it like you're a small child and you're clutching your favorite stuffed animal that, you just have to have with you. Like you're a newlywed and you're clutching your new spouse, you're a miser and you're clutching a bar of gold, they hold on, two-handed hold on to this device, and tears well up in their eyes, and they rejoice, they praise the Lord. Because they look and say, I've been praying for years.
Mm-hmm.
And this is now the answer to the prayers that I have. And they're so appreciative. They express it to us. And they're like, and tell everybody who's involved, whoever's making it, whoever's recording it, whoever donated that I could get it, even at a subsidized price, or, to have it given to me. And that whoever did that, somehow get thanks to them, because they have so blessed my life and they've been the answer to prayers that I've prayed for so long.
Mm-hmm. These pastors that are there, and I've been in some of these countries where it's really hard to understand the levels of poverty and the levels of need mm-hmm. that they have. But when you have people that make basically, like when I went to one country, $72 a year back then, that's what they made for the entire year.
Yeah. Yeah,
they're $72. That was back in the 80s. And, I know it might be a little bit more than that, but these people, it's hard for Americans. It really is, unless they've traveled to a country that is impoverished, or a country that is made up of cultures in mountain areas where there are a lot of tribes and things. It's really hard to imagine how these people live.
Yeah, I'll tell you a story, and it isn't even a Helios story. This isn't a Helios unit into this area. One day it will be an area that we would deliver units into, but in East Africa, there's a gentleman we work with and everything, and language there, trade language, is going to be English, going back to colonial times, British Empire and Eastern Africa and that, but local language is going to be a variety. Swahili is prominent, but so many others in that. And so he's visiting a village where he's heard that there are some believers, but there isn't a church. And that's kind of what he does, is he finds, and then he tries to identify and train up pastors and mm-hmm. whatever. So he's in a village that there are believers, but not a church yet. And while he's meeting with the chief, and that still is a predominant government position, as it were, in many of those areas. He's meeting with the chief, who is a believer in that. In comes a boy into the house. He's wearing a school uniform and that. He walks into the house, walks into the only other room, the bedroom, as it were, in this small house they live in. A couple of minutes later, while they're talking, the boy comes out and he's changed clothes and he's pushing a bicycle out of the room. And so, my friend asks, he goes, "What's going on here?" and everything. And he goes, "I just saw him in a uniform and he changed and everything." He goes, "Oh, well, the uniform, he was coming home from school." He goes, "Oh, okay." And he goes, "Well, school just around the corner. I saw him walking." And then he goes, no, "It's 5 kilometers, a walk to school and back from school." And he said, "Yeah, but he has a bicycle. I mean, I just saw him with a bicycle. Why wouldn't he ride the bicycle to school and not?" And he goes, "Oh, the bicycle's not his." He said, "The bicycle," and he goes, "You may not have seen it on the bicycle, but there's a basket in that. In the basket is a Bible." He said, "The believers in this village, most are illiterate. They can't read." By the way, that's why the Helios Projects is in audio format, because that's a challenge in many areas of the world. He said, "The believers that are in this village, most are illiterate. They can't read. Most are poor and can't afford their own Bible. So a little while ago, they all got together, put their money together, sacrificed what they could, bought a Bible and a bicycle. And then they hired this boy. He's one of the few people in this village, because school is 5 kilometers away, one of the few people in this village that can read. And they pay him, it's not a lot, they pay him so that every day after school, he takes the bicycle and the Bible, and he makes his rounds to all the Christian families in that community. And he only may get to each family about twice a week. But he then spends time reading God's word to them.
Mm-hmm.
So here are believers that love the Lord, same as you and I do, that love his word, same as you and I do, but they don't have his word. And even if you were to get them a Bible, it'd be a challenge to them. They can't read it. So they've done what they could. They've hired this boy, and he won't ride the bicycle when it's not for the Lord's work, because it's the Lord's bicycle. And so he walks 10 kilometers every day, so about 6 miles, three miles each way, when he could ride a bicycle, but he won't do it because it's the Lord's bicycle, and it's the Lord's bicycle so that the Lord's people could hear the word of the Lord. Well, you know, when those people start to gather together to have a church, an assembly, and then to have a pastor lead them, it's going to be a pastor out of that village. Now, it could be that boy who can read, but it might not be that boy, in which case whoever the pastor in that community is isn't going to be able to read, needs an audio resource so that he can understand God's word and the Christian faith. And that's, to me, that's a harvest field for the Helios Projects soon to come.
You know, that's a beautiful story, and you hear stories like that anytime you're dealing with the word of God. And you're dealing with a country where they are impoverished and they can't afford it. You see a new picture when you get the reports from the ground level, and you see the reports of what happens to these people when they are impacted by the word of God and they hear the story of the gospel.
Yeah.
It's always touching. It's always a change in their lives that will result. I remember Randy Alcorn's book, and this is a fiction book he wrote called Safely Home. But it's all about real things that go on. And then the story is built around some of these individuals that he again, is telling a story about. But one aspect of his book is not a fiction. It happens, and that is the church that is persecuted in China, and how that the believers in the underground church there value any representation of the word of God they get. And in his story, he talks, again, it's drawn from real life happenings. He talks about this one person who only had a single page from the Bible, and he treasured that page, and they would meet secretly. He would get up and go to a meeting under the cloak of darkness in the middle of the night, where others would risk their lives to go. And what do? They sit around candlelight and they read from this page, a single page.
Yeah.
So precious is the word of God.
Absolutely.
To them that that is exactly what they were doing. And yet I can't help but think, Tim, about how we take in America, we take for granted not only the liberties that we have to be able to gather together as churches, and I know that a lot of those liberties have been challenged in the last couple of years in a way America has never seen, but we still have a lot of freedoms, and we are free from the standpoint of technologies. It's poured on us in abundance, and we know that anytime that happens, it's so easy, isn't it, to take for granted what we have.
Yeah, we have so many opportunities for spiritual growth. But hey, being a pastor for so many years, I would always look and say, listen, your opportunity for spiritual maturity is not the same thing as your guarantee of spiritual maturity.
That's right.
You have all these resources and you don't take advantage of it. And while God's word is going, and listen, God's word is powerful. It's a two-edged sword. God's spirit is powerful, and he brings, Christ said before he left his disciples, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, and he's going to teach you in these things. But we also recognize the body of Christ was also given for these things. And part of the dynamic of the Helios Projects is to look and come into areas where there already is believers. We're not really high on evangelism because we're looking to train the pastors. So there's somebody who's working as an evangelist in that area, but he needs an understanding. Years ago, my uncle and I were in China. We were doing house church training, and we covered it with a medical clinic and a dental clinic and that. And so here's why these Westerners have come into town and that. But we're doing house church training, and we had supper that evening with some of the leaders, and we asked them, you know, what are your challenges that you're facing? And one they said was the cults. And they said, how would you deal with the cults? And we said, well, you know, which cults are you dealing with and everything? And I still remember as plain as day, they said, the crying cult. And we said, well, we're not familiar with that. Could you explain that to us and everything? And just like you said, there was an area where a Bible had come into an area and they had ripped it apart, so everybody got some. Well, the blessing is everybody got some. The downside of it was, people had developed a theology solely based on the little section they got.
Out of context.
Out of context. Mm-hmm. And so they had John chapter 11, the raising of Lazarus. They had developed a theology because Jesus cried and it said that Lazarus had been in the tomb for 4 days. They had developed a theology that your demonstration of true faith in Christ was that when you express faith in Christ, you would start to cry. And you would not stop crying for 4 days.
Wow.
If you stop crying, you obviously didn't have genuine faith, and you could never get back to that point again. It had passed you by. You were damned for all of eternity, as it were, because you hadn't real faith in Christ. That's the need for the Helios Projects, is to address and not only just give people God's word, but give them an understanding of God's word and the Christian faith.
And we all need that full context. I think about the passage that says we're to rightly divide the word.
Yes.
And that has to be done rightly. You can't just pull a verse. That's the danger about studying it that way, where you just put your finger in wherever it lands. Sometimes that works, and sometimes you end up with theologies that are not great, just like those people did. My guest today is Tim Kroll. We're here talking about the Helios Project, where you can take part. $50 allows a pastor to be trained, and you can sign up at trainapastor.com. Trainapastor.com. I'll be back with Tim. Don't go away. This is Afternoons with Mike. In the studio with me today is Tim Kroll. Tim is with the Helios Projects. We've been talking a lot about that. You've been hearing a lot of commercials that are drawing attention to the fact that they're trying to raise money, raise up enough money to train 350 pastors by Thanksgiving. And that's the goal. The goal is to see these areas in Brazil where there are people who have been touched by God, who feel called by God to lead the people, their people, to a greater understanding as churches are formed, as congregations come together, and we have leaders, but those leaders are not, they're not open, or they're not privy to the kind of theological training that a pastor really needs in order to really lead his people well, to avoid the pitfalls that so often happens, like you've just said, Tim, in the last segment when you were talking about theologies that can actually be formed. And they're not altogether right because they've pulled something out of Scripture, but not set in the right context. And, you know, there's a lot of people that I've heard this before who would make a statement that you can twist the word of God and make it say what you want it to say if you do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And we see it all around us. And we'd say that's one of the strengths of the Helios Project. So there are other ministries out there doing a great work. We're not in competition with them in that. When people ask, well, what sets you apart? One of the things I'll say is we are comprehensive in scope. If you get our theology project, Helios CT, we call it, for Christian theology, it's 199 sessions covering all 15 doctrines of the Christian faith. So it isn't, you know, you get the doctrine of Christ, but you have nothing on the Holy Spirit, or you get the church, but you got nothing on eschatology. It's all of those. So it gives a pastor a comprehensive understanding of Christian faith. In our GS project, God's Story, it's a storing of Scripture from Genesis to Revelation. You don't just get stories of the patriarchs and nothing of the apostles. You don't get just the story of the life of Christ and nothing of the Old Testament prophets. You get it all. Every book of the Bible, stories from each of them and that. And the other thing we'll say is we're experienced in content. And by that we mean my dad, 50 years in studying and teaching God's Word. You've got one teacher, one blessed by God, and he'd be the first to say this. And that's partly where the genesis of this project came, is looking and saying, Lord, you've blessed me with 50 years of studying and teaching God's Word. I don't think you intend me to just carry that to the grave, as it were, or carry that off to heaven should you return. But you blessed me and intend that to be a blessing to others. So how can we get that blessing to others? And so it's one teacher. So if you're having a teacher who speaks of stewardship in an area, it's going to be consistent, whether they're Old Testament, New Testament, theology, whatever it might be. If they're talking about marriage, they're going to be consistent in that throughout. And so that's our, I think, our two biggest strengths is we cover everything, as it were, and we cover it with one teacher. So you know you're getting a consistency throughout all of it.
Tell us a little bit about your dad, Woodrow Crowe's theology training himself. Where did he get his initial framework for the word?
Yeah, he's got a bunch of degrees, and I should probably know where he got them all from. And I know if you go to our website, it lists all those places. But he would give credit to two things. One, his parents. His father was a pastor, and that doesn't always mean everything in that, but his father was saved a little later in life. He didn't grow up in a believing home. He grew up in a Christian home, but not necessarily a believing home. He ended up meeting my grandmother, and she was a believer and from a believing home, and she was instrumental in him coming to faith in Christ. And then the Lord called him into ministry, and their home was a believing Christian home. My dad would say that's really where my Bible training all started. Not just dad as a pastor. My grandmother was the best Bible story teacher ever, ever. I say that. My story is somewhat the same. I look and say it was visiting grandma and grandpa, and every night, you know, kids, you don't never want to go to bed, so you're just one more story. Grandma would oblige us. They were almost all Bible stories, or they were Christian faith missionary stories or pastor stories or whatever, but most of them were Bible stories and helping us know and understand God's word. Dad would say that's where it started. And then he went to Bible school, and he's been to Bible college. He's been to university since then. He's been to Christian university. He's been to secular university. I've had the same experience. I also ended up going to the same Bible school that he went to. And we both would say the foundation we got at this Bible school in upstate New York, it was Practical Bible Training School. It was started in 1900. That name Training School needed to change at some point in time. It became Practical Bible College. Then because so many of their graduates are missionaries around the world, they changed to Davis College. Mm-hmm. And Dad would say, and I would say, the foundation we got in Bible and theology at Davis College is what set us up for the rest of our lives in all the rest of the education and all the rest of the study and all the rest of the growth that we would have in his word and in growing in him.
Now, he had practical application with all that training himself, not only as a pastor, but as a radio minister on Back to the Bible. How did that initial contact happen for him to become the host of that?
Yeah, they contacted him, and he'd tell the story much better than I, but they contacted him, and he's like, listen, I'm a Christian educator. He'd been a seminary professor. He'd been a college professor. He was now a college president at Practical, Davis College, and they contacted him. He said, listen, I don't think I'm it, and they eventually showed him that they were passionate in it, and he understood that was God's call and ended up doing that. But, you know, I think it was that teaching on the radio and understanding I'm not teaching a microphone. I'm not teaching a million people. I'm teaching the one listener who's listening on the other side of that radio. And I think that polished dad and his speaking and presentation, he was on Back to the Bible for 23 years, and that comes out in what we have in the Helios Projects. We talk about it. Another one of our strengths, I think, is it's conversational in style. It's one friend with 50 years of studying God's Word sitting across the table or sitting in a hut with another friend who passionately wants to know God's Word, understand God's Word, and shepherd his flock and reach his community with the gospel of Christ. And yet he hasn't had all the same benefits and blessings. And so you've got a friend who's got 50 years and a friend who wishes he had 50 years sitting down and talking through the Christian faith and the stories of God's word.
That's really great. You know, it's not uncommon when a pastor comes to an end of his serving in a local church and he retires. It's not uncommon at all for them to write a book. And I think that's a good thing. And I think that's something we should all do, but with your dad, Dr. Crowe did not stay very long in a retirement kind of condition. He got back to work pretty quickly, and he started writing all right, but he didn't write just what would be, if you took the amount of writing that he did, it went far, far, far beyond a single book.
Now, Dad has written books. You know, you do a Google search or go to Amazon or whatever, you'll find a bunch. Go to our websites. We still have some of his books he's written. Great resources for Christian growth and that. But in this, he said, I need to write something specifically for these pastors and for training these pastors who haven't had training. And so our first project is about 1,400 pages in length. And the second project's about 1,800 pages in length. And since we usually talk about it in audio format, that converts to about 70-some hours in audio for the first and 90-some for the second, just over about 160, 165 hours in audio training for pastors.
And the nice thing about this, again, thinking about all of the people to the locations that these units go, they're being translated into the local languages in that particular area. So for Brazil, Portuguese will be the language that will be used. And they're taking these 3,200 pages of written material that Dr. Kroll has put together and then recording them in a systematic format where the units that play these back actually have almost like chapter dividers that you can listen and come to an end and you can jump back to where you were with bookmarks. It's pretty amazing how this works.
Yeah. You know, again, the technology is amazing. Fortunately, I didn't have to develop it or it'd be pretty rudimentary. You know, the other amazing thing about the technology is it's designed for somebody who's never had technology before and might never have any other piece of technology in their whole life. So it has to be simple, but it has to be functional. And so you're right. It's broken up. Each project is broken up into sections. Each section is broken up into sessions. Sessions range, but the average is about 20, 22 minutes. Mm-hmm. Some are a little longer than that. Some a little shorter, recognizing, you know, we need bite-sized chunks. You know, Many of you were in church yesterday. I was in my church. We just celebrated the Grove Church, Florida. Shout out to them. Pastor Brad and all the staff there, they just celebrated a 10th anniversary yesterday in that. And
wonderful.
You know, we sit through a message for 20, 30 minutes, and most of us struggle to remember much of it another day or two or three. And that's not because the Spirit of the Lord is deficient. It's not because the Word of God is deficient. It's not even because the servant of the Lord is deficient. It's because we have to dedicate our minds to that. And so each session of the Helix Projects is a bite-sized chunk. So a pastor can listen to a session.
And re-listen to it.
And re-listen to it. Mm-hmm. And back up and listen to sections of it all over again and meditate on it. And allow the Holy Spirit then to work in their life to fully navigate that and ingrain it into their lives. Mm-hmm. So it becomes a part of their life and then a part of their ministry.
And when that happens, then there's a spillover effect. All the what is being done for these pastors is now going to be benefiting the people that they teach.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's the wonderful thing. That's the plan of God in preaching. It's marvelous to see that God calls a leader, God calls a person, and not just on a Sunday and from a pulpit, but really all of us, all week long, where we go, we are the mouthpieces of the Lord. But in a particular area like Brazil, this is a unique opportunity to train those that are starting off. In so many areas, they've never heard the gospel, yeah. Not even once. But now they're going to be able to hear the gospel as taught and trained from seasoned teachers, your dad being the person who's written the material, then these people who are translating it, and it's going out in love on a little player that we all can invest in.
Yeah, you can invest in $50. We say we'll train a pastor. You can go online and give at trainapastor.com. You can call. We have a Christian ministry that helps us with a call center. You can call them at 833-443-5467 to give a gift. $50 would train a pastor. For some of you, you know, a $50 gift is right and adequate. For some of you, that might be a challenge. You could give a smaller gift than that. You know, I have to believe there's somebody out there. And we've been sharing for 3 weeks here on Shepherd Radio on that. We had a goal we set out there. We're still trying to reach that goal. We have till, you know, the end of this week. We have to Thanksgiving to reach that goal. We're behind on the goal.
Mm-hmm.
We are. But, you know, there's somebody out there that the two mites the Lord gave you. To take that story of Jesus seeing the widow with two mites. It's all she could give because that's all the blessing she had. For somebody out there, your two mites is a whole lot more than the two mites I have. And so, you know, I'd challenge you. These pastors need it. Somebody listening right now could rescue this goal, as it were, and rescue these pastors who need training. You could give a gift of $10,000, and it would be significant for most people listening out there. For you, it's your two mites because the Lord's blessed you. And imagine what would happen when you give that gift and now pastors, and now I'm speaking to everybody, you give that gift, whether it's that $10 gift, it's that $50 gift, it's, you know, $25 a month, it's the $10,000 gift. You give your two mites, the Lord takes it. Now consider the blessing that it is. We're coming into Thanksgiving and there's a pastor somewhere who's going to get one of these units, and your sacrifice is going to be the cause for their Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. They're already thanking the Lord. They thank the Lord. Tomas in Ecuador thanks the Lord because they had, you know, chicken once 2 weeks ago. You know, other than that, they're eating roots and vegetables and that. And he thanks the Lord for that chicken. And, you know, most of us are going to fill our refrigerators with leftovers on Thanksgiving Day. And
Yeah. You
could be the Thanksgiving. Many of us look to what are we going to give at Christmas time, and that you give this, and now a pastor, and Mike, what you just said, not just as a pastor received this, but the person, as it were, in their pew now receives this. And so you've now considered what it would be if somebody showed up your church, walked down your aisle, and, you know, put a blessing right into your hand. That's what you're doing when you're supporting the Helios Projects.
And without a doubt, it's the kind of blessing that it's an eternal blessing,
yeah.
Because many of these people who are hearing the gospel, hearing it preached from these pastors in Brazil, they're hearing it again for the very first time. They've never experienced what we in America take for granted, Sunday school training from pastors on Sunday night services, Sunday morning services, our midweek services in home groups or at the church buildings. We take it for granted. It's there. It's almost like become second nature to us. And we don't realize until you take a missions trip, until you're walking with a pastor who is a local pastor in an area like a jungle in Brazil, and see what he is doing and the great need, then that gives you, and that's the beautiful thing about a missions trip.
Yeah.
You come back from that missions trip with an entirely different perspective, an entirely different set of experiences in your life. And I will also say you come back with a little bit different set of values about what really is important in life. And the gospel is so important, isn't it?
Amen. Absolutely. It's our only hope in the situation we're in the sin that we're in each of our sin that we're in. The only hope we have is salvation. And that salvation is provided through Jesus Christ, through his death, burial, and resurrection. And so for us to have that blessing and then to realize there are those around the world who still need that blessing.
Still need it. This is Tim Crow with me today. TrainAPastor.com. You can be a part of this great harvest that we're looking for. TrainAPastor.com. We'll be back with Tim for one more segment. This is Afternoons with Mike. Back on this Monday with Tim Kroll. Tim is here from the Helios Projects. He and his father make up this wonderful organization. God laid it on Dr. Kroll's life when he retired from full-time ministry, from being a pastor for many years, from being the radio minister for how many years was he on Back to the Bible?
23 years.
23 years as the Bible teacher on the well-known Bible program that's been on radio for years, Back to the Bible. He retired from all of that and took about 4 or 5 days, and then the Lord just gave a new vision to him.
Yeah, he had traveled with Back to the Bible to more than 100 countries. They had 6 international offices and broadcasting around the world and visiting all those countries. Often they'd bring him together and listeners together, and most of the listeners were national pastors.
Mm-hmm.
And in talking with them, he realized they were doing absolutely the best they could. They were serving the Lord with all their strength, with all their passion. And yet he realized they're doing what they could, but they had so little. And so he always promised the Lord, "Lord, if I ever have time, I'll do something to help those national pastors." And as he says, you know, I never had time. We never have time. And so he retired in January 2013, and about 4 or 5 days into retirement, the Lord reminded him, you know, you said if you had time, you'd do something. Well, guess what? You've got time. And so he sat down, started writing the Helios Projects, and then started looking for how do we deliver them to people and that. And there's even a story of my oldest sister, her brother-in-law, her husband's brother, was at that point going down to Radio Shack. I'm not sure anybody can go to Radio Shack
anymore. Yeah, I don't think they're around anymore.
I think you can order online, but I'm not sure they have stores. He was going down to Radio Shack. He would get messages from his church, whatever his pastor was preaching over the last so many weeks or months. He'd load them onto a little computer chip, like an SD card or so. From Radio Shack, he'd buy a player, and he would buy a solar panel, and he'd construct these kinds of units and everything. And I have one of them in my office. And he'd find hear of a need of a pastor, and he'd send it halfway around the world, you know, and it cost him, I don't know how much to put the unit together, but if you've ever shipped anything around the world, you know, it cost them, you know, 3 times as much to ship it and all that. And so my dad thought, well, you know, Larry's doing this. Maybe that's how we deliver it. And then we ran into Mega Voice. The Lord knew all the pieces to come together.
Yeah.
Dad needed to retire. He had to have this experience with pastors. He had time then to write and to use 50 years of study. Larry had this idea. We run into the guys from Mega Voice. They have the units that we need. I'm part of the next pieces of the puzzle, and that if I had to write the curriculum, I'd still be writing it. If I had to record it, I apologize to the rest of you. You're listening to my voice. It sounds wonderful here in the studio in my head, but when I hear my own voice over the radio, I'm like, oh man, what is that? My dad's voice is nice and deep and sounds wonderful. And so, you know, boy, if I had to record it, that'd drive me nuts. But I've got friends all around the world, and that's the next piece of the puzzle, is where do we need new translation and recording teams, and where do we need distribution teams and networks? And in many ways, it's finding who's already there. We're not looking to reinvent the wheel. There's enough servants of the Lord serving in a bunch of places that we can come alongside and say, who's here? Who's doing the work? How do we come alongside and help and support them and be the answer to prayer they've been praying about?
Right.
And that's what's happening. We're in talks with a large Christian ministry right now, missions ministry right now. And they're looking to train pastors. They're already on the ground in an area. They have a passion. They have the partnerships. They know the people. And basically, they came to understanding, we just don't have the curriculum and we don't have the content. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to take years to write this and record it. And Mega Voice actually put us in contact with each other to say, well, maybe you're the answer to each other's prayers.
You know, America has seemed to be a part of things like this for a long time, and it's the heart of people in this great country. If you look at what the American people have done for evangelism, for missionary work, for training pastors and all of this, it's not an uncommon thing at all to see how many hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars have been taken to these areas. But one thing for sure about this project that I love so much about it, as I've learned about Helios, it's not all about the technology. That's not the shining piece of the pie. It's not even about the voice, like you said. It's not, we don't have a celebrity voice. It's not like a song that has been put out by an artist. The shining real star, if you will, of this whole project is the Word of God.
And
the Word of God is there. It's coming through crystal clear through the speaker of this most amazing piece of technology. I'm grateful for it.
Yeah.
It's a great thing. But again, it's not the piece of technology that is so exciting.
Yeah.
It's the fact that people in the bush, in the mountains, in villages where there is not a shred of electricity, they can sit and they can listen to the Word of God being preached and get a Bible education.
Yeah, we have these units going into Brazil, and you know, thank you, Mike, and thank you, Shepherd Radio, for allowing us to put this challenge out there to Shepherd Radio listeners. And you know, if you're listening, I hope you'd check us out. Go to our websites, go to trainapastor.com, and see what we're doing, what we're about, and give. You know, I'm going to ask you to give because not for me, and again, not for us, for our projects and everything, but for pastors, for communities of faith, for communities that need the gospel, for the glory of the Lord to be raised up in difficult and dark places.
Right.
That's what these gifts are about and everything. And they're going into Brazil, the solar units that go into Brazil, and there's some in shipment right now. I just got word the other day in this whole shipping crisis that's going on. Sure enough, that raised the cost on everything and raised the paperwork on everything, and yet they're going. And soon, my prayer is they'll get through customs, they'll get through all these things, they'll get delivered to the north part of the country, they'll be headed to the Amazon. And just talking and reading about our partners there in the Amazon, there's a tributary river, the Amazon. The Amazon's about 4,000 miles long. There's a tributary river that's about 1,800 miles long. There's a section of that they're just starting to open up, and they're asking prayer. Prayer for how we come alongside. We've run across a ministry that's working in the area, but they're struggling, and we want to come alongside and partner with them. Well, I know part of that struggle is, how do we raise up in villages that the gospel isn't? How do we share the gospel and raise up believers?
Yeah.
And where there are believers, how do we bring them together to form a church, an assembly? Where there is an assembly, who's going to pastor them? Who's going to shepherd them? Who's going to teach them God's word in that? And how do we train that individual? And so they're now saying, you know, pray with us. Pray with us of how we can work together to see the gospel go into all these fishing villages along this area of the, and I'll probably say it wrong, I think it's the Punas River. My Portuguese is non-existent, so I won't even try it in that. But what they're getting in these solar units is a Portuguese Bible. It's the Word of God. And they're getting the Portuguese CT project. They call it TC because once you translate it into Portuguese, and it's Christian theology. So here's God's word, and here's an understanding of what Christians believe about God and his word.
And again, when you think about this tributary that's now being looked at, a river 1,800 miles long, and living on both sides of that, without a doubt, are clans of people that may have just broken out from another group, and they're living, forming a culture, but they don't know the first thing about the Word of God. And many of them, like we've seen in the Word, where they would never have even heard that there is such a thing as a Savior, much less understand their need. And then they hear the Word, and that's something that is not done by man. That's not done by a preacher. That's done by the conviction of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit moves on the heart of a person, and suddenly their ears, their eyes, their hearts are open to the Word of God. That's what is the fruit of teaching the Bible and preaching the good news of Jesus Christ.
It's the work of the Holy Spirit in all of this. So there are individuals that are not yet followers of Christ that the Holy Spirit's working on to draw them in, to provide that first bits of spiritual understanding, because they've in sin, like you and I were in our lives. We've been darkened in our sin. There are believers that are being moved by the Holy Spirit. Share your faith with your neighbor. There are pastors that are being moved by the Holy Spirit. This is what I want you to speak to your congregation to encourage them to share their faith. There are individuals who are listening right now that the Holy Spirit's moving on to say, I want you to give of the blessings I've given you so that that pastor can receive this training, so that he can encourage his congregation, so that they can be bold in sharing their faith, so that that person who is lost can hear the good news of Jesus Christ.
Right.
They can hear the story of the prodigal son. There is a father who is waiting for you to return home, and with joy, he will willingly receive you when you've turned from your sin and you want to be part of his house and his family. And that message is going to be all the more proclaimed and powerful when pastors are trained and confident in the role that God has given to them. And you can be a part of that. Join us. Be a part of this work and this movement. Train these pastors in Brazil. $50 will train a pastor. You could give a one-time gift. You can sign up to give monthly. Somebody out there, I challenged earlier, somebody out there, the Lord's put it on your heart. Right now, if the Lord doesn't move in an incredible way, we're not going to meet our goal. We're not going to train 350 pastors. We're nowhere near that. But maybe the Lord wants you to give a significant gift. I mentioned earlier, a $10,000 gift. We have people that will give that in the ministry here or there. Maybe you're the next one who will give that. Maybe it's a $5,000 gift. Maybe it's a $50 gift. Maybe it's a $10 gift. The Holy Spirit's working in your life to say, I've blessed you, and I want those blessings to be a blessing to you, but I want them to flow through your hand to be a blessing to others. And so go to trainapastor.com, give us a call at 833-443-5467. Respond as the Holy Spirit leads you. And listen, I'd be the first to tell you this. I said this all the time as a pastor. If the Holy Spirit isn't leading you to give, don't give. Give what the Spirit's leading you to give. We only have so many minutes here and we got to wrap it up. And here's my pastor hat going on in that. I've heard too often, you can't outgive God. You can. You can give. We all see that story of the widow on TV that put a second mortgage on her home and lost her home because she gave it to some televangelist somewhere. Why? Because she didn't give as the Lord directed her to give.
Mm-hmm.
You can't outgive the Lord in what he directs you to give. So if he's putting it on your heart to help train pastors in Brazil and around the world, then give. Give us a call. Be a part of this. Respond in obedience to how the Lord is leading you. And if he's not leading you into this and he's leading you to support local pregnancy center, or I see Nathaniel's Hope sticker here in your office, if that's what he's leading you to, then just be obedient and be passionate and be generous in what you're giving. Be sacrificial in it, because you can't outgive what the Lord directs you to give.
Right. That's well said. And you can do that by going to trainapastor.com. It's been our privilege as a group of radio stations to partner with you on this. I was reminded when you were talking about the taking the gospel and the way the Holy Spirit opens the ears and eyes of the people who are hearing the gospel. I love this, John 1:12. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, we're doing all of this because of that very purpose.
Yeah.
To see the gospel go out, to see the Holy Spirit move upon the hearts. Just like you said, if he's moving upon our hearts, we should do it. If we're not being called by God to do it, being called by God to do something else, then do that. But Tim, I want to say thank you for what you are doing and for how that this project is going out to train these pastors. And we can all be part by going to trainapastor.com.
Mike, I just want to say thank you to you, to Shepherd Radio, the ministry, and also to the listeners. Maybe this is your first introduction to us. You've never heard of us before. You might even not have heard of Back to the Bible and Woodrow Kroll and all that. You've never heard of the Helios Projects, and you certainly have never heard of Tim Kroll. This is your first introduction, and you just don't feel led to give yet. But the Lord's put it on your heart to pray.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not even to pray for us, but to pray for these pastors, pray for these communities of faith, to pray for your brothers and sisters around the world, then keep doing that and be involved in that way. And, you know, for giving your attention and giving your time and giving your heart to those things of the Lord, I want to say thank you.
Oh, it's great, Tim. Tim Kroll from Helios Projects, my guest today. Friends, thank you for taking part. That's all of our time. We'll see you next time right here on Afternoons with Mike.